Okay, because we have some things left in the pre-processing lecture, and if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, we stopped at chapter data reduction last time. So we discussed correlation last time and said we will go on there. Is that correct? Can someone give me some signal whether I'm correct? Okay. Seems like that. Okay. One question, is the recording started again? Okay, perfect. Then we can go on. It's a little switch between the guest lecture topics and this topics. Of course, the guest lecture topic is more advanced than anything we will do in this lecture, but it's a sneak peek, into the real world industry needs, which are of course much more advanced than anything a basic lecture can give you. However, today we will talk about something they have done within the guest lecture, data reduction. Data reduction is part of pre-processing because there's a lot of data. In the guest lecture, it was a lot of different kinds of data. In this kind topic, we will discuss uniform data. Okay, now it's working. First, what is data reduction? Let's say we have a lot of data and we can only handle a certain amount of data. Then we have to, of course, reduce data. And in the real world, as it is with Lynda and as it is with Predato, we have terabytes of data, such an air purifying plant, air separation plant, has a lot of data over time. And of course, other use cases even have more data than that. In that case, we can, of course, just throw out some tuples, can throw out columns we don't need, just throw out things we know we do not need. But what to do if we think we might need any of that data? Then we have to do data reduction, some more advanced kinds of data reduction. Today we will discuss wavelet transforms, principal component analysis, and attribute selection, subset selection, and attribute creation is basically what I've said already, but we will come to that as well. Let's first start with some basic information. With too much data, we have a problem. If there are too many tuples, we have a problem. But the most common problem is that we have not too many tuples, too many entries in a database, but we have too many entries of columns, or too many columns, too many dimensions. That's known as the curse of dimensionality. This can only be handled not by throwing out attributes, but by reducing correlation or by reducing correlated columns into one. We already know what correlation is, and now we want to reduce redundant information within multiple attributes. Because if we have a column giving you age and a column giving you a birthday, that's somehow redundant. Why do we need both of them? Of course, that's a very simple example. But with all of these methods we will discuss today, we can automatically find out columns and reduce them into one dimension or two dimensions instead of many dimensions. The problem with dimensionality or high dimensionality is also that some methods perform very poorly if you have a lot of dimensions. We need a certain fixed amount of dimensions to be easier to work with, but also to, for example, have easier ways to visualize dimensions. Very simple example, I can draw you a rectangle, I can draw you a square, I can draw you a cube, maybe, in some way, but I can't draw you something in four dimensions on the blackboard. That's hard. And if I have to draw five dimensions, it gets even harder and so on. But let's go to the actual methods. The first method we will discuss is wavelet transform. Wavelet transform is a pretty common technique used in image processing, but it can also be used in the processing of integers of any kind. Basically, images are integers in a certain frame. But the discrete wavelet transform, to be precise, can also be used to reduce numerical columns attributes of any kind. Basically, the method of a discrete wavelet transform, and it's important that it's the discrete and not the continuous wavelet transform, basically works like this. We start with a vector to a power of 2. So it's fine if a vector has a length 2, has a length 4, has a length 8, and so on. Power of 2. If we have, for example, data like 1, 2, 3, which is not to the power of 2 because we have 3 values, then we just pad the last value to the next power of 2, so 4. Once we have that, we can transform this into certain coefficients and fractions. Let's do that with an example. Let's start with an initial vector of 2, 2, 0, 2, 3, 5, 4, 4, which is to the power of 2 because it's 8 values. Of course, to the power of 2, we do not need to pad. The first step in the discrete wavelet transform would be to say, we take a look at the first 2 values. We take pairs of 2s. And then we do 2 operations. One is to calculate the average of these things. The average is of 2 and 2 is, of course, 2. And the second operation is to calculate the weighted difference towards the average. Since the average is exactly both the values, we have an weighted average difference of 0. For the next pair, it's more fun to do. We have 0 and 2. The average to calculate is pretty easy. It's 1, of course. The weighted difference is basically 0 minus the average. So the first value minus the average, which is minus 1. And the same is done for 3, 5, where we have the average 4. Take 3 minus 4, get the weighted difference minus 1. And for 4, 4, and 0. Why do we do that? We can, of course, just take a look at the averages, 2, 1, 4, 4, and the weighted differences, 0, minus 1, minus 1, 0, and can go to the original vector. There's no problem with going back. Because if we have the average 2 and the weighted difference 0, we know that we have 2, 2. If we have 1, we can just, and mean minus 1 as weighted difference, we can calculate 1 minus 1 or minus 1 plus 1 is the better way to do it, of course. Gives 0 for the first value, and then we can use the average to recalculate the second value as well. So we can go back. But we can also throw out one of these parts, and then we just lose a little slight thing of information. If we just throw out the differences, the weighted differences, we have most of the information within the averages. But we lose some information. And that can be done, of course, a second time and a third time. I was told that my examples get too much into detail, so I will skip that. And you can see that on the slides. We get to this result. So the first is the resolution of 8 is the original vector, because we have 8 values, 100% solution. Okay. Then the next step, the step we did together, we have the averages of 2, 1, 4, 4, and we have the detailed coefficients or the weighted differences of 0, minus 1, minus 1, 0, and so on. And if we go to the lowest resolution where we only have one average, we have, of course, the lowest resolution, the lowest information, percentage of information contained. But if we then save all the information we have here, we can just replace the smallest detailed coefficients by zeros, and then retain only the most important coefficients to retain even more information while removing anything else. We have to retain the lowest resolution average, so 2.75, and we have to retain all detail coefficients that are not close to zero to have at least a good amount of information. Of course, we can't really specify in a good way, at least we cannot in KDD. There are ways to do that, but we will not teach you that. Get a number how much information is contained within that thing. Why do we want this wavelet transform? Because we can work with filters. Filters are basically we can use filters. I will not go into details with maths because that's a math problem to use filters. But we can use filters to emphasize regions in this preprocessed data set that are important or that are less important. Basically, I would say wavelet transform is something you would use with images, not that often with data. It's an example that I will not go into more detail. I was into more detail in the original version of that presentation, but due to time constraints, I skipped that. Because the more important part is the PCA, the principal component analysis, which is also a method used to reduce dimensionality, but that is more often used with data sets, numerical data sets. And there we will go into detail. Let's say we have a data set with n dimensions. In this case, we have 3 dimensions. Dimension 1, dimension 2, dimension 3. So 3 columns, basically, 3 attributes. And we want to find a certain amount of attributes that best represent those columns. Let's say we have a method that doesn't work with 3 columns, but works with 2 columns, for example. Then we can use PCA. The first step is, of course, to give each column the same amount of information contained. Not the same amount of information, the same importance of information. That's something we already had with other methods. We already discussed that if we do not standardize data, we might have an attribute that spans between 0 and 5 million and an attribute that spans between 1 and 2. And of course, with most numeric methods, the higher difference within the value range of the column, the higher the importance within the method, if we do not use standardization, which brings it back to a certain frame of things. Standardization guarantees us that the standard deviation is within a certain range of the frame. And why do we want that? We want that because we want to consider each column with the same importance than the other columns. Which is pretty easy to do. We already know about standardization. You should have done that in the last exercise, or implemented standardization, C-score normalization, within the last exercise, or will do it today if you didn't finish the last exercise last time. And we will just calculate the mean and the standard deviation for each dimension. And then we will come up with a standardized data set where for each column, the standard deviation is the same. And therefore, the same importance is within the column. The next step, and that's the first real step of a PCA, the first step is optional but should always be done because otherwise you will have that importance problem, is to create a covariance matrix. A covariance matrix is basically a matrix where on the diagonal axis we calculate the variance for each dimension. So variance of dimension 1, variance of dimension 2, variance of dimension 3 for our example. And then we compare dimension 1 with dimension 2. Dimension 1 with dimension 2, 3, and so on. So basically, we do this. Then we compare, we calculate the covariance for dimension 1 with dimension 3. And so on. We do that up to the count of dimensions, of course. So if we have n dimensions, this covariance matrix will be a lot bigger to do. Why do we do that? Because we want to reduce correlation. We want to merge columns with a lot of correlation. And this can be done if we calculate covariance. Maybe I should again show you the formula for covariance because we got through that in a lot of rush last time. Covariance is based on correlation and can be calculated on that. Basically, this formula is just covariance and it's of course related to correlation. If we have calculated that, we know which columns have a lot of correlation between them. For example, we have a value of 0.96, which is, if you remember, is very highly correlated, dimension 2 and dimension 3. Next thing, and that's a unique step, is to calculate the eigenvectors and eigenvalues. The eigenvectors and eigenvalues are a specific thing that's pretty common within PCA and some other methods, where we take a look at our covariance matrix, named C here, have a V, an n-digit vector V, then we have an eigenvalue. I don't know the name for this Greek letter. I forgot about that. The Greek letter, the y, the turned our y, lambda, yeah. Lambda, and then v. And this can be solved. This is an equation that we can solve by math. this is an equation we have to solve manually or with an equation solver. And we will have multiple solutions possible for that. We will have multiple eigenvalues and eigenvectors. Lambda is the eigenvalue, and this v, and it's a Greek letter as well, is an eigenvector. And every solution in that is very important for the next step. Because if we have a three-dimensional original thing, we will have three solutions for that. If we have two dimensions, we will have two solutions for that. And this so-called, and the combination of an eigenvector and an eigenvalue is called a principal component. Therefore, principal component analysis. These things are very helpful because the eigenvalues basically indicate which principal component, so which combination of an eigenvalue and eigenvector, has which importance in the data set. So if you take a look at our example again, we have three dimensions, so we have three solutions for the equation. Doing that by hand, on the blackboard or in the exam, requires very simple values. And it's not that easy to come up with examples for that. But in this case, we have complex values, so the solution isn't part of the lecture. Solving an equation like that requires basically a calculator. But the result is that we have three eigenvalues and combined the eigenvectors. We know that the eigenvalue one of these eigenvalues has a value of positive 2.1 or 2.15 maybe. We have an eigenvector of 0.8. We have an eigenvector of 0.03. And now we sort these solutions to our equation based on the eigenvalues. So the highest eigenvalue has the highest importance for our data set. If we have done that, we can then create a so-called feature matrix, where we select the top n eigenvectors. So if we say we want the top two eigenvectors to come up with two resulting columns, we will select this eigenvector 1 and this eigenvector 2. We can also say we want only one eigenvector, and we put them together into a feature matrix. This is now the feature matrix for the top 1 eigenvectors. So we only selected the first eigenvector. If we would have selected the first two eigenvectors, it would be basically 0.3. What's the next value? Minus 0.9. I use the rough values in here because using or rewriting all things isn't very good, but 0.6, 0.2, and 7. That would be the feature matrix if we select top two. And we can estimate, that's the good point of the PCA, we can estimate how much information is contained within our new data set. We know that if we select only the first eigenvector, that roughly 72% of information is contained within the resulting data set we will get in the next step. Because we can just add up any eigenvalues and use that to divide from the selected eigenvectors. As we only selected the first eigenvector in this example on the slides, we only select the eigenvalue for the first eigenvector and divide it through all the sum of all eigenvalues. And we will come up with 0.71, which is roughly 72% of information. If we use any eigenvector, so all eigenvectors, we will lose no information because we will add up every eigenvalues and divide it through all eigenvalues, which is basically one, of course. We can do that same thing for this thing, where we just add up 2.14 plus 0.81 and divide it through all things. It will be roughly, I will not calculate that now because I have no calculator here with me today, behind that. But basically, we can calculate that it will be closer to 100%, but it will not be 100%, of course. It will be very close to 100% because this third value is very small. I would estimate 98%, 99% of information will be contained. But we, in our example here, selected we want only to keep one eigenvector. Therefore, our feature matrix looks like this. And now we can use this feature matrix to transform our original data set. Because, of course, we have original data, and we want to transform it to a new data set with only one dimension in this case, because we only selected one eigenvector. And that can be done by just multiplying our original data set D with our feature matrix. This is the actual transformational step which creates a new data set, a reduced data set from our original data set. In our example, with only one dimension, principal component selected, we will get to that. And we know that roughly 70%, 72% of original information is contained. So we have a trade-off to do, just like with the wavelet transform, where we have to lose information to reduce the dimensionality. And we have to find a good value that holds a balance between loss of information and less information to handle, or less data to handle. In some cases, it will be not suitable to lose even 1% of information. But in some cases, it might be okay to lose 50% of information. Depending on that, it differs a lot which method is used, or which amount of information is okay to lose. So how many vectors to select for this feature matrix? We will do a PCA task within the exercise sheets as well. And even if calculating these things with complex values is hard, there have been some tasks in the exams where you had to perform single steps of this PCA in the exam. So it's not totally out of bounds to do that. Also, calculating this the simple things is something that might happen within the exam. That also happened. Here I'm doing a detail coefficient, as I didn't go into detail in this time. I will not go into detail in that in the exam. that would be not fair to go into detail in wavelet transform if I wasn't in the lecture. Are there any questions regarding both methods? If there are questions next time, we have time to discuss them. I know it was a very quick go through today due to time constraints again, but we can discuss that if you have questions. Take a look at that at home and yeah. Some other methods will come up, but there isn't enough time to do that. So we will continue again next time, next lecture. So we will go on with attribute subset selection next time. Very important, next time will not be the Monday next week, because next week is a holiday. But it will be Friday next week. We will have a special lecture next Friday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. It will be recorded. I've discussed that with your colleague up there. It will be recorded because I know nobody, not everybody will be here once that early, and also on Fridays, some people might work, might do other things. I would be happy if as many as possible will come, but there's no problem if you do not come. We will discuss the rest of the of this pre-processing lecture, and we will do the OLAP lecture as well. This will be part, and the next normal lecture will be in 2 weeks' time on Monday. So there's one lecture, I can show you that, because I, of course, put that into Campo as well. Can always have a look at that in Campo. That's not correct. A little leak. So, maybe English would be better. So we will have a lecture on 24th of May, and we will have a lecture on 27th of May. Those things can be also seen at Campo. You can look that up yourself. The Friday will also be H20. That's confirmed. Yeah. Okay. Have a nice time. Have a nice start in our local festival. It starts on Thursday, and come back healthy.